Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 22, Which Do You Choose? Pastor Karen Coulterman delivered this message on May 13th, 2018.
I want to bless you today. I want to simplify mothering for you as I teach. And yeah, I heard that laugh. How do you do that? Well, let me read the key scripture that I have. It's from Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. And it says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." Father God, I thank you. I thank you for your word to us today. Oh, Lord, and I thank you for your special love, your overwhelming love for each and every one here today. And I ask that you would cause that love to flow to them, that when they hear this message, they would be touched by it. They would have revelation of what you're saying to them. And you would take away any burdens, anything that would hinder them from receiving what you have for them, life, and that more abundantly. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, your life is about to get much easier as a mother. How, you ask? Well, I understand there are pressures out there, right? Lots of them. Pressures that come against being a mother. Pressures that this world is enticing your children with. And even those who are spiritual children, commitments and busyness that entice them away from what you're trying to encourage them with, the Word of God. So today, the scripture that I just read offers you a solution to that. It's telling you, you have a choice. Now, it's not giving you 12 choices or 100 choices or thousands of choices. It's giving you two choices. And what are they? Choose life or death, blessing or cursing. Two choices, one or the other. That kind of simplifies it, doesn't it? And notice, you're the one who makes the choice. You have a choice. And I know, I remember when I had small children and even teenagers, mothers feel like, choice? I have to make a choice? I'm just getting out of bed and I have to stay one step at least ahead of this child. So you want me to make a choice? But it's an easy choice. Every day, a choice for life. Between the world that represents death. We know that when Adam and Eve sinned, the enemy, Satan, came in and took dominion over this earth. So the choice you have is between earth, worldly thinking, worldly choices, death, or the Word of God, which offers life. And this message has to do with words that are associated with that. Because every day we listen, we take in words. That becomes our thoughts, words that come to us. Words that we think about, that we dwell on. So words that we think on and listen to, words that we speak out of our mouth. And the words that we speak out of our mouth are a result of the words that we take into our mind. So, my question is, which do you choose today? You have a choice. I'm going to read now from the Word of God. And as I read, listen to the words that are spoken as a result of words that are thought about as I read this. This is about the Shunammite woman. And it's from 2 Kings 4, verses 8 through 37. And I'll read through it. I might make a comment on it as I go. We'll see. So, verse 8 says, "One day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, 'I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in a bed and table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay whenever he comes to us.' She wanted to bless Elisha. In those days, God raised up prophets who represented him here on earth. Now today we have the Holy Spirit living in us. He instructs us. He comforts us. He teaches us. But in those days, that was before Jesus went back home to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit. So God raised up prophets who understood his word, and they would take the word to people and bring revelation to the people. And she understood that Elisha was one of those prophets. And she loved God the Father. She wanted to know more about her Heavenly Father. So she honored Elisha. And she desired to be a blessing to him. Well, verse 11 says, "One day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, 'Call the Shunammite.' So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, 'Tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now, what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?' She replied, 'I have a home among my own people.'" In other words, "I don't need anything. I'm just fine. Verse 14, "What can be done for her?" Elisha asked. Gehazi said, "She has no son, and her husband is old." There's the crux of the matter. In those days, it was an honor for women to have a child or children. That's what that was a priority. And she had no children, and she was married to an older man. So essentially, the odds against her ever having a child were great. But you notice she didn't complain to Elisha when he asked what she wanted. She didn't verbalize the impossible situation. So when Elisha heard this, he realized that's what God desires for her. He wants to meet her need. Then Elisha said, "Call her." So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. "About this time next year," Elisha said, "you will hold a son in your arms." "No, my lord," she objected. "Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant." But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. Her desire was met. God loves her. And he met that desire she had. He wanted to give her the desires of her heart. Verse 18. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. He said to his father, "My head, my head." His father told a servant, "Carry him to his mother." After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up, laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. He died. The blessing of God. That God met her desire to have a child. But he died. What was she going to do about that? Verse 22, she called her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return." "Why go to him today?" he asked. "It's not the new moon or the Sabbath." "That's all right," she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Lead on. Don't slow down for me unless I tell you." So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, there's the Shunammite woman. Run to meet her and ask her, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right?'" "Everything is all right," she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. I was thinking of the song that you'd started out with today. "I'm going to hold on to you and not release you." Perfect. When she reached the man of God, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is in bitter distress. But the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why." And then she explains, "Did I ask you for a son, my Lord?" she said. "Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes? Do you hear anything in there about death? My son just died. Do something?" No. She just said, she was reminding him of what he promised her. But by taking hold of him, he knew something was wrong. And then when she said this, he understood what it was. Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand, and run. Don't greet anyone you meet, and if anyone greets you, do not answer." Again, don't give anybody an opportunity to ask what's the problem. "Lay my staff on the boy's face." But the child's mother said, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." She was going to hold on tight to the one who she believed had the answer. So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face. But there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, "The boy has not awakened." When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. And as he stretched himself out on him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and then got on the bed and stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." And he did. When she came, he said, "Take your son." She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. Praise God. This woman was blessed with a son. The prophet had wanted to bless her. And God knew her desire was for a child. Such joy she had. She was so excited, and it was so wonderful. And I know that the father was so excited too. But then she was faced with a challenge. She was faced with a challenge to what she had received from God through the prophet. And how she handled that challenge with the choice that she made and the result that she received is what we want to look at today. Because what worked for her also works for each one of you as mothers who may be frustrated because you don't see at the moment that godly child that God gave you. So the Shunammite woman was faced with a choice. Let's look at how she did handle that. She chose life rather than dwelling on death. She didn't allow those thoughts of death. Even though she was holding her son in her arms and he died, she didn't dwell on that. She simply got up, took him not to his own bed, not to her bed, but to the prophet's bed, shut the door, and made some decisions. She could have thought that it was God's will to take back the blessing he gave her. But if you look at verses 8 through 10, you realize she had a relationship with her Father God. And she knew that he had joyfully blessed her with this child. He wanted to meet her desires, and he did. So in knowing God, she recognized that it wasn't him who then took back her son. So number one, if we're looking at what she did, she recognized that her son was a gift from God. God had answered the desire of her heart. He had met that empty place in her with a son. She might have been ostracized by others, and we know that it looked hopeless because her husband was already elderly. And yet women in those days, that was a sign that they were honored, they were respected when they had children to bear, because that was a sign of prosperity. It was the thing to do. And so God blessed her. He was the source of her blessing. And she knew he wouldn't take that blessing back from her. Are your children, do you see them as an answer from God? And again, I'm talking about natural children and spiritual children. Do you recognize them as blessings that come from God? All life comes from heaven, the Heavenly Father. And even if what you see right now, if what you're hearing right now, if how you feel right now doesn't seem like those children are a blessing, they are. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. That's our Heavenly Father. Your children are a heritage from the Lord. They are a blessing. God has always had a plan for each of your children. And again, spiritual as well as natural. He has a plan for them. He's not the one taking them away. He's not the one pulling them away from you, pulling them out of his will for them. That doesn't make any sense, does it? He's not the source of the problem. But he is the source of their life. He's the one who has a good plan for them. And she recognized that. So she chose life. She understood who the source was. The promise. Where did it come from? It came from God. Number two, she recognized the source of the problem. And it wasn't God. It was the enemy. It was Satan. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full," or have it more abundantly. So the words that she listened to were the promises that Elisha had spoken to begin with, when he said, "This time next year, you will hold a baby in your arms." That was the word that she listened to. She refused to listen to any other words. She wasn't going to allow what the enemy would try to speak into her life. She chose then, as a result of what she was listening to, she chose to speak words of life over him, no matter what she saw at the moment. So if your children aren't living in the purposes and the plans of God, that he has for them, what do you do? Just as she did, you recognize who the source is. Who is the source for rebellion? Who is the resource for sickness? Who is the resource or the source for flaunting evil? Who's the source? Well, it's not God. He's the one who has every good and perfect gift. It's Satan. That's the source. So just as her, you need to believe. Believe God's word of life. And then speak it. Speak his will over your children and the situation. And you don't need to speak it directly to their face, depending on their ages. If they're small, you speak it over them, verbalize it in their presence, whatever. But if they're older and they're rebellion, if they've gotten away from the Lord or if they've never come to him yet, you don't need to speak it at them, but speak it over them. Make that choice. Agree with God for his plan for their life. Because when you're agreeing with God, with his word, you're agreeing then with what he desires to see them come into, the destiny he has for them. If you're just speaking words of frustration with what you see immediately, right now, what's in front of your nose, which the enemy always makes sure he does, you're agreeing with death. You're speaking death. I'm so frustrated. You're not speaking life over them. You're speaking death over them. So agree with God's plan. Let him take hold of your word. It gives him something to work with. When you're speaking his word, you're getting in agreement with his will for their life. Then God can move. He can work. So that's point two. She knew who the source was. First of all, she knew the source. Knew who the source was for her blessing. She knew the promise he had given her. Second point, she knew who the source of the death was. The situation, that the challenge that came against her son and herself. Thirdly, she knew who to turn to for the solution to the problem. She immediately, and I think this is so important, she immediately put her son down when he died. She didn't sit there holding him and grieving and sobbing and crying. She immediately took her son and laid him on the prophet's bed, shut the door, and then went to Elisha, God's prophet. She didn't turn to the world and try to find, you know, a solution there. She didn't go to her friends and sob and say, what do you think? When should the funeral be? She didn't go to her husband even and share with him the words that she saw right in her own arms. Death. She didn't do that. She immediately went to Elisha. She wasn't allowing fear, doubt, unbelief, grief to set in. Because had she sat there, that's exactly what would have happened. The enemy would have seen to it that all these words of, oh, he's gone. My promise, my blessing is gone. He'll never grow up. He'll never be the man of God that I thought he would be. All my hopes and desires for him are gone. He's dead. That's what the enemy would have tried to have sown into her mind, but she didn't even give him time to do that. She simply got up and went to the answer. She chose life. From John 10:10 again. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Choose life and not death. How can you know that that's the right thing to do? How did she know? Again, because verses 8 through 10 tell us she recognized. She recognized that Elisha was the man of God, and she honored him because ultimately she honored God. She honored God's word. She honored God's will. She loved God. She had a relationship with God and developed a friendship with Elisha. That's the important key for us as moms who desire to bring blessing into the lives of our children. We need to have that relationship with our Father God. Spend time with Him. Read His Word. Study His Word. Get to know Him. And when you get to know Him, His nature, you realize that He is good. You realize that He is faithful, that He is trustworthy, that you can count on Him all the time, that He will never leave you or forsake you. Develop that relationship. God is the source of all life. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Likewise, He knew your children before they were in your womb. And those who have spiritual children, He knew them. He has a plan for them also. He brought them into your care to nurture, to grow into His wisdom, to grow into His kingdom, to grow into His love. And just as natural children are, there are times when spiritual children don't cooperate with that as easily. So, understand that just as this Shunammite mother made those three choices for life, or made that choice for life and then demonstrated it the way she did, the same for you. No matter whether you sought after having children, it was a desire of your heart, or they showed up by surprise, no matter how they came, they were still blessings from God. Life always comes from God. And He entrusted them in your care. He trusted you with them because He knows that you are trustworthy too. Now, the enemy doesn't want any children to fulfill the destiny that God has designed for them. But as Christian mothers, as disciples of Jesus, we make choices. We make choices between death and life, and God's expectation is that we make the choice for life. We don't allow the enemy to defeat what God has planned for those children. Now, with the Shunammite woman, it was death. That's radical. But we see the same thing happening with our own children, not necessarily physical death, but death to the plan, the purpose, the destiny that God has. So we choose to listen to His word and then speak His word. We know that He is the source of our blessing. He is the answer that we turn to when the enemy tries to destroy the blessing from God. His word represents God and brings God's life, God's power, God's light, and God's truth into the situation. So I just want to read a few scriptures, and I think it would be good for you to confess with me, so I'll lead and you can make the confession after I speak it. These are the scriptures that God has spoken. They're like promises to us. Just as Elisha had spoken to her, to the Shunammite woman, that she would have a child, the promise, she hung on to that. She reminded him of that. That's what she listened to over and over again. No, this was a promise from God. I'm not going to allow the enemy to steal my promise. So, these are some words that God has spoken about our children. And when we speak them, we recognize this is from God. This is life. This is His purpose and His plan. So from Psalm 127:3, again, it says, children are a heritage from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Offspring, a reward from Him. From Proverbs 22:6, start children off on the way they should go. And even when they are old, they will not turn from it. It doesn't matter what you're seeing right now. The word is truth. God doesn't change His mind with regards to the word. This is truth. If you train them up when they were little, they will fear God when they are old. And then Isaiah 54:13, all your children will be taught by the Lord. And great will be their peace. Another scripture that I spoke over my children often, daily, practically. Great will be their peace because they're taught of the Lord. Not looking at what was going on around me, but really looking at what did God say? Because God is true. He doesn't waver. When He says something, He means it. And He stands by it. And finally, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Praise God. Father God, I thank You for Your word. I thank You that You do have plans for each of these mothers, but also plans for their children, natural children and spiritual children. And Lord, I thank You that even if they've just started teaching their children, they shall have great peace. And even if when they were young, they didn't pour into them because they didn't know. But Lord, it doesn't matter when they start to pour Your truth into them. You take hold with them. And I thank You, You never abandon them. You never forsake them. Your plans for their children are even better than these mothers' desire for them, because Your love is greater. Oh, Lord, we thank You for Your love. We thank You today that You are overseeing every one of these precious mothers. You're helping them. You're pouring into them. You're strengthening them. And You're making mothering easier for them, because they've chosen life. And I praise You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to pray for people in just a minute, for those who would like prayer. But just where Pastor Karen left off, she actually went into overdrive and she just like finished everything up. So there's not much left for me to do. But in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, God says, for I know the plans that I have for you. Do you know He has plans for you? Amen. He's got plans for your family. Amen. Big plans. God doesn't think little. He just thinks big. Amen. Great things that He has for you. Awesome things that He has for you. A dream for you. He's been dreaming it over you forever. And now you're here. You can live his dream. Plans for welfare, this version says. It's the ESV. I think the other said plans for good. Plans for welfare. God is concerned about your welfare. Did you know that? He didn't plan any tragedy for you. He's planned for your welfare. And not for evil, he says. To give you a future and to give you a hope. So today I hope, I believe, when you go out of this place, you'll have some hope built up in your heart. That God's taken you to another level, maybe? Another level of trust in him. You know, the one who's your source. Given you an opportunity to come back to you as his source for maybe resurrecting from the dead some of the dreams that you've lost. Some of the plans that didn't turn out so well. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And when you come to him, that life begins to flow inside of you and then it begins to flow out and get on others. And that's the miracle of God's plan and his grace. Because he really has put you here for somebody else. And all the moms kind of know that. You know, they've poured out their lives for their kids. And sometimes it seems like they're not much appreciated. But today we appreciate them. I have a special day for them and stuff. But sometimes there are disappointments. Like that Shunammite woman must have had. But she didn't stay disappointed very long. Because there was hope. There was hope when she could come back to the source. Verse 12 says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. And I will hear you. Isn't that awesome? He never turns us away. We could be rotten to the core, but he still wouldn't turn us away. But thankfully, Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Because he was made a curse for us. So that we could receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He says, you will come and pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will restore your fortunes and gather you from the nations and places where I've driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place which I sent you into, which sent you into exile. God's a restorer. And today he wants to restore some things in your lives. And sometimes we need the comfort of people praying with us. Sometimes we can just accept that and say, thank you, Jesus, and walk out blessed. But if you're here this morning and you need prayer, would like prayer over yourself, over your family, over some situation or circumstance, I just invite you right now to come and we're going to pray. In this church, we're family. So we'll ask the family to get around you. But let's take those things to God and let's leave changed, blessed, with hope, trusting in God's future. So now's the time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.